take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, September 30th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the last day in Oregon where you cannot buy marijuana legally. That's right, tomorrow, October 1st, legal marijuana sales to any adult who wants them in any dispensary that'll serve them. And that's not all of them, and we'll tell you all about that coming up in our Behind the Headlines. We're going to give you all the background right here from Portland, Oregon, on what's happening with marijuana sales, which dispensaries will be open, which cities and counties won't be selling to the recreational consumers, what the limits are. If you're wondering what's happening here in Oregon, this is your source, the Russ Belville Show and MarijuanaPolitics.com. I blogged about that today at MarijuanaPolitics.com in my daily column there. You can check out my reactions to what's happening with legalization here in the state of Oregon. Also coming up on the show today, we've got a drug war data mining segment because the FBI's Uniform Crime Report for 2014 came out. And over the weekend, I took a deep look into the statistics and found a very disturbing thing. And that is, despite marijuana legalization, drug war arrests have gone up. And not just marijuana arrests, folks. We're going to tell you all about that. We'll get you into the drug war data mines here coming up in just a few minutes. Also on the show today, it's Wednesday. That means it's time for our Hemp Day Hump Day update. We've got the organic cowboy himself, Doug Fine, best-selling author of Too High to Fail and Hemp Bound. He'll be joining us at half past to give us the latest updates in the world of industrial hemp from all across the country, and especially here in the state of Oregon. And then at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant. I got to go off once again on this Ohio legalization proposal. Got into a discussion on Twitter today with Dan Riffle of the Marijuana Policy Project regarding whether or not Marijuana Policy Project supports ending my criminality in the state of Ohio and getting medical marijuana to patients who could desperately use it. You'll be kind of surprised at what their stance is, or maybe you won't. But stay tuned for that. It's coming up in the Radical Rant. And then we'll take things into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We got a great Daily Toker Tunes song for Irie Wednesday coming up at 4:20 Pacific time. It's Linton Kwesi Johnson in our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tune, so check that out. And also, we'll talk a little bit about what's happening here on the Russ Belville Show. If you've gone to the 420 radio site, you'll notice there's a bunch of changes happening there. We've got new sponsorship on a national level, so some new banner ads and pre-roll ads that you're hearing here on the show, and fewer ads during the show, so that'll be kind of the balance that we'll strike. But gotta pay the bills, gotta make some money. Capitalism is what it is, so I hope you can appreciate that. Also, you will see that the video window is no longer on 420 Radio because the video window is now specifically for just the Russ Belville Show. So you got to catch that on RadicalRuss.com. And then eventually, the Russ Belville Show will transition to CannabisRadio.com. But 420 Radio will still exist, but it'll be a little bit different. And it's very complex and complicated. So we'll talk more about that in Hour 2. But basically, you're going to get everything you're getting now and more and better. So we'll talk all about that coming up in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll also take your calls toll-free at 84-420-RADIO, a number that will also probably have to change.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis business 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com. With years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
As a police officer, I walked the beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. As Oregon medical marijuana dispensaries get ready for recreational sales tomorrow, cannabis growers are already scrambling to keep up with demand. Because the state won't hand out permits to grow recreational marijuana until after January 2016, there will be a limited amount of supply. Aside from medical cardholders, 9% of Oregonians regularly use marijuana. Based on those numbers, the customer base at dispensaries that choose to sell recreationally will increase fivefold. I will be participating in Oregon's first legal marijuana sales at the grand opening of Canisea at 10735 Northeast Halsey Street in Portland at 10 a.m. That's 10735 Northeast Halsey Street at 10 a.m. Follow at Radical Russ on all social media for coverage of this historic event. The Santee Sioux Tribe has already proven its business acumen, running a successful casino, a 120-room hotel, and a 240-head buffalo ranch on the plains of South Dakota. But those enterprises have not been immune to competition and the lingering effects of the Great Recession. So the small tribe of 400 is undertaking a new venture, opening the nation's first marijuana resort on its reservation. The experiment could offer a new money-making model for tribes nationwide seeking economic opportunities beyond casinos. Santee Sioux leaders plan to grow their own pot and sell it in a smoking lounge that includes a nightclub, arcade games, bar and food service, and eventually slot machines and an outdoor music venue. The project, according to the tribe, could generate up to $2 million a month in profit, and work is already underway on the growing facility. The first joints are expected to go on sale December 31st at a New Year's Eve party. Denver police issued 7 violations for underage retail marijuana sales during an enforcement operation at 30 shops last week, officials said Wednesday. Police say they conducted checks Friday in an effort to audit any potential underage sales and found there to be a, quote, lower underage compliance rate. We are disappointed, said Louis Koski, director of Colorado's Marijuana Enforcement Division, in a statement. Up until now, these compliance checks have been a bright spot for the industry. The recent check drops compliance to 92%, end quote. In Washington state, by comparison, several stores have been reprimanded for selling to minors. Overcapacity in dispensaries in Colorado is driving down marijuana prices. Nicholas Colas, chief marketing strategist for Convergex, surveyed retail outlets in Colorado and found that marijuana prices fell from $50 to $70 for an eighth of an ounce to $30 to $45. An ounce fell from $300 to $400 to the lower end of $300 an ounce. Colas said that by reviewing the tax data from the Colorado Department of Revenue, he determined that stores probably earn $58 million in revenue, a 97% increase over last year. Texans are chilling out about pot legalization, the results of a poll released Wednesday indicate. A poll released Wednesday by the Texas Lyceum found that 46% of Texans support marijuana legalization, a 13 percentage point jump from 2011. The increased support for relaxing weed laws comes after 23 other states have legalized marijuana for medical or recreational uses. Of the 50% of respondents who opposed legalization, 57% said they would support reducing penalties for possession of small amounts.
Medical marijuana dispensaries in Northern California are offering up to $200 in free cannabis per patient affected by a hugely destructive wildfire. The Los Angeles Times reports the two companies are offering free products at five dispensaries in San Francisco, Santa Rosa, Sebastopol, and Lake County through October 7th. Patients eligible for the products must have a medical marijuana prescription and home addresses in Cobb, Kelseyville, Middletown, or Hidden Valley Lake. Dutch cannabis cafe owners can refuse to sell soft drugs to foreign nationals because this does not conflict with European legislation on discrimination, the Dutch Supreme Court said on Tuesday. The ruling relates to a 2010 case in Maastricht when the government introduced a new law banning a cannabis cafe from selling to tourists. The Supreme Court referred to a European Court of Justice ruling from 2010. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Well, folks, tomorrow is the big day, October 1st, 2015. Recreational marijuana sales become legal right here in my hometown of Portland, Oregon. I will be out making my first legal recreational marijuana purchase, as will many of my co-bloggers at marijuanapolitics.com. The fact that we've got our marijuana sales beginning October 1st, just 3 months after our July 1st legality date, it became legal to possess and grow on July 1st, that three-month window means we were the fastest to legal sales from legal possession. Colorado took 12 months and Washington State took 18 months between the time people were legal and the time they could buy. And we're still waiting on Alaska to see when they will have their first sales. Of course, Oregon also set the record among the four states as having the greatest statewide support for marijuana legalization at over 56% of the vote. Our coverage of this begins at Cannabliss and Company, which is at 1917 Southeast 7th Avenue in Southeast Portland. Anthony Johnson will be there. Anthony Johnson was the chief petitioner of Measure 91, a transplant from the red state of Missouri. He'll make his historic first purchase there. And a big thanks to Matt Price, a longtime supporter of marijuana reform, the owner of Cannabliss, who will be hosting Anthony Johnson. Sid Maurer, she'll be making her first legal purchase at The Greener Side, a dispensary at 1553 Oak Street in Eugene, Oregon. Sid Maurer, of course, is the former television anchor for the local station in Eugene, KEZI. She was fired when a workplace drug test discovered metabolites of marijuana in her system. Speaking of news anchors, this news just in to the Russ Belville Show's news desk. Charlo Green, the famous anchor from Anchorage, Alaska, who had the fuck it, I quit moment on live television. She will be just seven blocks away from Rolla J Studios at the Panacea dispensary. Panacea is at like 68th and Sandy Boulevard. It's right across from the Safeway store that's there and about two blocks away from Herb Thrasher's house. So Herb Thrasher will be down there at Panacea covering their first legal recreational sales and hopefully getting a chance to get some photos and talk with Charlo Green, the great Alaska activist. And then I will be making my first purchase at the grand opening of Canacea. That's right. We have a Panacea and a Canacea. I'll be at Canacea at 10735 Northeast Halsey Street. That's in Northeast Portland. We'll live stream it if I've got the internet capacity out there. We'll live stream audio. And I will live stream with my Periscope account. Follow me at Radical Russ on Periscope if you've got the Periscope app. Also, big news, I just got at Radical Russ on Instagram as well. So now I am truly at Radical Russ on every social media available. So YouTube, SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Periscope. I think I got them all. Anthony Johnson's going to make his way from Cannabliss over to Canacea to join me later in the day. We're going to be there from 10 a.m. to noon as the first 100 adult customers and the first 100 medical marijuana patients who come to Canacea will get a free gift bag. The local rock station Kink FM, yes, of course, Portland has a Kink FM, will also be there broadcasting live. And you can hear a replay of these events at 3 o'clock on the Russ Belville Show tomorrow. And I'll have, of course, have photos, audio, and video on all my Radical Russ social media accounts. And personally, this is a pretty amazing day coming up. I've made many marijuana purchases in my life, many. And most of them happened in the parking lots of bars or the living room of someone I was pretending to like, always with a threat of arrest and jail hanging over me for my purchase. Later in life, I moved to Oregon where I still made those purchases, but with the lesser threat of a ticket hanging over me. Later still, I made those purchases with the protection of a medical marijuana caregiver's card, no longer afraid of a punishment for possession, but weighed down with a conscience that told me that I was abusing a system designed for sick people for my own selfish purposes. Recently, I've made completely legal marijuana purchases in Colorado and Washington, free from fear, but overburdened by taxation and the stress of travel. Tomorrow, for the first time in my life, I will make a legal purchase of marijuana in my own hometown, not overburdened by taxes, but absolutely free from taxes for the rest of this year. It's a great time to be in Oregon. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Canacea.
Come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Well, we're not being that repressed anymore. We'll finally get a place to buy some marijuana tax-free for the next 3 months, and then the tax goes up to 25%. We'll talk more about that in hour two. We'll also take your calls. If you got any questions about Oregon marijuana legalization, stay tuned for hour two and give us a call at 844-420-RADIO, 844-207-2346 in hour two.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is...
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National, Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy
because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look at the new figures from the FBI's Uniform Crime Report for 2014. And despite the legalization of marijuana in four states now, more people were arrested for possession of marijuana and more people were arrested for possession of hard drugs in the last year. There was an increase in arrests for marijuana law violations for the first time since 2009. Which breaks the four-year decrease streak, the only four-year decrease streak in the history of the war on drugs. Last year's marijuana arrest total of 693,482 increased by over 7,500 to 700,993, seven people short of 701,000. That marks a marijuana arrest every 45 seconds in the United States. The increase, though, in marijuana arrests owes to an increase in possession cases, an increase of 10,385 possession arrests. Marijuana sales and manufacturing arrests actually decreased by 2,874, the only decrease in any drug category for sales and manufacturing or possession. Every other category of every other drug went up in arrests, except marijuana sales and manufacturing. There were 60,000 more drug arrests overall this year. So 10,000 more marijuana possession arrests, another 50,000 more drug arrests. The possession arrests for other dangerous non-narcotic drugs increased by almost 25,000. Arrests for heroin and cocaine possession increased by almost 20,000, 19,200 something. And the increase for the possession of synthetic drugs went up by about 6,000, 5,800. The sales and manufacturing arrests for all other drugs except marijuana only increased 2,599. You know what that means? That means net sales and manufacturing arrests for all drugs went down. All other drugs went up by 2,600. Marijuana sales and manufacturing went down by 2,800. A net decrease of about 270, 275 when you get rid of all the rounding, right? So it's marijuana possession arrests, and for that matter, possession of all drugs, possession arrests that have increased despite marijuana legalization in four states. To put this in perspective, possession arrests for marijuana increased 1.7%. Possession arrests for heroin and cocaine increased 7.8%. Possession arrests for other dangerous non-narcotic drugs increased 8%. And possession arrests for synthetic drugs increased 8.5%. So, if Colorado and Washington have made demonstrably fewer marijuana arrests in 2014, remember, Washington dropped from like 5,000 misdemeanor arrests to about 100. Colorado dropped about 80% of their charges. So if we had demonstrably fewer arrests in 2014 in two states, the first full year of legal possession and sales, it stands to reason that the other states have increased their marijuana possession arrests. So, is it the police in the states bordering the legal states, the Kansas, the Oklahoma, Nebraska? Are they increasing their arrests, as anecdotes have suggested? Or is it that police nationwide in non-legal states are just getting in their last licks before legalization comes to their state? I wanted to find out, but it's kind of impossible to pinpoint exactly where the increase in marijuana arrests comes from. Table 30 of the FBI's Uniform Crime Report breaks down drug abuse violations by region, but its total is 1.2 million, and that doesn't match the nationwide total in Table 29 of 1.5 million. And I have asked the FBI for clarification on this. I got a very short response from one of their analysts that I'm following up on to try to figure out why is your total off by 300,000 between two different tables. But it is difficult to do year-to-year comparisons anyway, because each year a different number of police agencies per state may or may not be reporting. However, the drug abuse violations table does break down the percentage of arrests by drug type, and this gives us some interesting data. In the Midwest, marijuana possession makes up over half of all drug arrests. It's fluctuated between 54 and 52% over the past 5 years. In the South, it's declined slightly from just over half to just under half of all drug arrests are for marijuana possession. In the Northeast, it's declined a bit from 48.5% to 44%. And perhaps that's Massachusetts decrim, Connecticut decrim, and so forth. But in the West, in 2010, 33.5% of all drug arrests were for marijuana possession, just a third. After California decrimmed in 2011, it dropped to 23.5%, just about a fourth of all arrests. After Washington and Colorado have legalized in 2014 now, 17.1%, or a little more than one-sixth of all drug arrests in the West are for marijuana possession. So legalization has definitely changed the effect of marijuana policing in the West. But since we still have overall more drug arrests, the cops have just shifted their resources to busting people on harder drugs. Now, maybe some people think that's a good thing, but I should think that we shouldn't be busting anyone for what they choose to do to themselves. That if drug addiction is a health issue, that is solved by doctors and families and churches, not by cops. That is the second increase in Barack Obama's administration in marijuana arrests. And total, we've had since 1970, 24.5 million marijuana arrests. We're back with Doug Fine and the Hemp Day Update right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Marijuana legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day Update.
Well, it is a fine Hemp Day Hump Day, the last day where I can't buy weed at a store in my hometown. Doug Fine, how you doing today? Hello, Doug, are you there? Okay, we don't have Doug. Doug can't hear me for some reason. Let's see what's going on here. I see him connected on the studio line. He doesn't seem to be hearing me. All right, let me cancel that, and we will go to break. And when we come back, we hope to have Doug Fine here on the line. Stay tuned. Something weird going on with the Skype again. See, ever since Microsoft bought this thing. Let's blame Bill Gates, shall we? Yes, yes, yes. Reminds me of something Bill O'Reilly once said.
We'll do it live, fucking thing. We'll do it live, fucking. Do it live, do it. it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks. We'll do it live. Do it live. Fucking thing.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
In the Odyssey, Homer explores the depths of human tragedy.
Oh, yo.
Second.
Huh? Hey, man.
Here, through the eyes of Odysseus, he's being challenged by Cyclops.
I feel like everyone you know is smoking pot.
I'll take that, mister.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
Marijuana legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We got Doug Fine on the line for our Hemp Day Hump Day update. How you doing, Doug?
Oh, my gosh. I'm glowing. Just back from hemp harvests in four states, and boy, it's really happening. The dream in the ground is really happening.
Which four states have you been?
I've been to Oregon, Colorado, Vermont, and Kentucky.
Okay, let's start from east to west. Let's start with Vermont, a smallish northeastern state. What's going on with hemp in Vermont?
Vermont is what, so the everybody now is operating on this interim federal legalization where everything has to be for research, and the states that have done the best job of getting their farmers planting in the ground are what we call the Kentucky category. There are others that are, like Vermont and Oregon, are in-between states where there is a program and it's legal to cultivate, 26 states, but that the state hasn't been helping farmers get seed. So in Vermont, it's all about just getting it in the ground, learning, starting to build relationships in an industry, cultivation and processing, seed development and all of it. It's fascinating to watch. The Vermonters are their Yankees. They're the Minutemen and the Minutewomen, and they're get-it-done kind of folks, and they're very generous and understated, and it was great to be there.
Fantastic news coming out of Vermont, and let's move on to, let's go west now to Oregon here. We're starting our recreational sales tomorrow, but hemp is also getting some play here in the state. What's happening?
Yep, I'll be there next week for the Oregon Hemp Convention. Very, very excited about that. And we'll be covering it further, but basically it's the same deal in Oregon. Farmers transcending a state that wasn't quite ready, wasn't quite caught up for what had to happen for Oregon's farmers, for Oregon's economy, for Oregon's soil, and for the future of humanity. And they are catching up. That's how America works. The entrepreneur, the devotee, the driven folks get it done, and bureaucracy catches up, and I'm confident that will happen in Oregon. But the main thing is it was one of the best first years that could possibly be imagined in any state, although I should say Tennessee had a pretty kick butt one, too. I was just out at the Hemp Industries Association conference in Kentucky, and we talked to the Tennesseans, and although it was a terrible weather year in the American South, they got it done, a lot of acreage.
Excellent. Now, when you look between the different states as they're working on their hemp crops, are they specializing in different ways? Is one state going toward, you know, fiber and another one going toward seed, or are they all varying in all the states?
It varies farm per farm. You know, in my books, in Hemp Found and in First Legal Harvest, I propose what I'm now calling tri-cropping, this idea of trying to use one harvest or at least one farming cooperative, one farming sort of unit, community, to cultivate the three legs of them are a seed flower application, so nutritive seed oil or nutraceutical flower extract, one fiber app at least, everything from nanotechnology to, you know, sandals, and one energy application, which is really in play in a place like Oregon and Kentucky. So you're seeing it very farm for farm, and some people really trying to do more than one application. But I've been traveling to and learning harvests from and documenting as a journalist all of the things we just described.
How are things going for the prospects of processing and the post-harvest lifespan of this hemp?
It's happening. Everybody is aware of the cart before the horse phenomenon.
Yeah.
And I can simply say that in every one of the states that I visited, processing is coming online at the same time the production.
All right. Well, that's good news. I know that one of the concerns here, like you said, was the cart before the horse aspect of having all this hemp to plant. And then once we harvest it, what are we going to do with it? What's the forecast as far as the next planting season, and how many more states do you think are going to get on board?
I'm sure the number of cultivating states is going to continue to climb, and we'll push 50. We're already past half the states hemp cultivation. As far as next year, it's easier for me to look at more of a 5 or even a 10 year schedule. When you're talking about 5 or 10 years, there's no question we're going to have farmers in at least, let's say, 30 states, if not more, cultivating significant acreage. Kentucky's agriculture commissioner told me the other day he believes that in 5 years, Kentucky will be speaking about hemp in the same way that farmers of the region talk about things like corn, soy, cotton, tobacco, and others. It's going to be major. So there's nothing that can stop hemp now.
All right. Looking forward to that. And just from sea to shining sea, waves of hemp, just like it should have always been. What's next? I mean, you're doing the Oregon Hemp Convention. That's coming up here in just a couple of weekends on October, 10th and 11th, that's happening at the Oregon Convention Center. Are there other events to close out the year, or is that your final for 2015?
There are other ones. I want to mention this Oregon Hemp Convention because I'm very excited about it. Jerry Norton, the organizer of that conference, and I know you're speaking with it as well. I'm very excited about that, Russ. Maybe I can introduce you. He is about, this may sound woo-woo to people, but as I'm going to be speaking about in my own talks at the conference, he believes that putting in the unity and the love into the business plans is a fundamental part of the brand, and that is a key part of my message as well. So it's a great conference for everybody for all sides of cannabis to come. Besides a ton of hemp information, it's also the Oregon Medicinal Cannabis Cup. So it's just a 2-day event, and you really don't want to miss it. And it is about the fact that we can either think in terms of the 20th century economic model that left us our resources threatened and our climate in jeopardy for our children, or we can develop a locavore, regional, farmer-centric model that provides cultivators of all types of cannabis with an economy that's a model for the rest of the world. It's win-win. It helps the farmers. It's good for the customers. It's good for the earth. That's what we have to develop as we celebrate the victory here. My motto is, we won this thing. We won this drug war. It was hard work. People are listening to this, many of whom have suffered and been in jail, have suffered in other ways. Still folks trying to do the right thing, pay taxes and can't get bank accounts, all that nonsense. And we won it, and we set the terms of surrender, and we're not going to make the mistake that the other, almost every other revolution has done, which is turning on each other, purges, letting new profit-minded or power-minded people move in with their own agenda. We are going to show unity and show that the world, show the world that a new economic model that benefits everyone, that's lucrative and provides real incomes while not hurting anyone, is possible. And that's the model of the Oregon Hemp Conference. But after that, folks, check my events page. I have November in Santa Fe, December at the fantastic Emerald Cup in Northern California, and on and on and on. Really looking forward to that. Hope to see folks at all those.
Yeah, those are great events, and I'm glad that you brought up the how this fits into a broader social need to reexamine our relationship with, you know, the economy's relationship with the planet and the other living species on this planet. And I think that's sometimes we get so buried in the thicket of dealing with the marijuana issue that we forget how interconnected it is with our food supply, our natural resources, our energy, and so forth.
I think that is what you just kind of said is probably my major message for Oregon that I'll harp on throughout the conference, which is that the higher altitude view is helpful to hear. Hearing about how the rest of the world is operating, how the rest of the cannabis economy is developing, the positive and you know, the yang in with the yin, mm-hmm. and how the world views Oregon. That's going to be the topic of one of my talk conferences, is that Oregon brand and what it means. And so it's not just woo-woo, let's all get along, let's do this right. It's if you want to succeed with that sustainable, outdoor, truly medicinal, folks, you know, in flannel and beautiful Cascade Mountains in the background, that's the brand that the rest of the world sees Oregon, we have to live it and put it into our business models right from the start. Otherwise, we're just going to blend in with the rest of the world's product, and there's tons of it.
Yeah, it's very important that we get that together and understand that we're stronger all together in this situation, and that we're developing, we get to develop this industry from the ground up, and it can look any way we want it to look. It's up to us to decide that, and up to us to set those parameters. Doug Fine, you're doing such a great job out there covering hemp and everything that's happening. We always appreciate you calling into the show, and thanks for all your great work.
Likewise, Russ. I look forward to hearing what you have to say at the Hemp Convention and seeing you again in person.
All right. We will see you there. Oregon Hemp Convention is coming up on, what is it, October 10th and 11th here at the Oregon Convention Center. And I'm sure if you Google that, you'll be able to find out more information. Doug Fine is at Organic Cowboy out there on Twitter. And DougFine.com still for the website.
That is it. That's where you can get First Legal Harvest. Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail are available bookstores everywhere, but the hemp-printed First Legal Harvest is available at DougFine.com.
That's awesome. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Find out what's the latest in our Hump Day update. Thanks, Doug. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
All right. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Marijuana Policy Project is officially neutral on ending Ohio marijuana prohibition. Tell you how that went down. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and you're listening to 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Well, folks, sometimes it's easier than others to be a supporter of marijuana legalization. As you know from listening to me for a long time, my position is pretty clear. If Kevin Sabet is voting against it, I'm voting for it. And that brings us to Ohio's proposed 2015 constitutional amendment to legalize marijuana, known as Issue 3, or sometimes known as Responsible Ohio. Now, I've covered in the past how the normal board of directors voted on this and endorsed, with reservations, the Responsible Ohio Initiative. But I've also reported how Ohio Normal, the local affiliate, state affiliate of Normal in Ohio, has officially opposed the initiative. And it's been interesting to try to find out where everyone else stands on this particular initiative. Now, on September 9th, I had Mason Tvert on the show. He is the communications director for Marijuana Policy Project. And I was interviewing him about their indoor use initiative in Denver. But at the end of the show, I asked him about the Ohio initiative and got what I thought was an endorsement from MPP that they supported the initiative. But today, I was clued in by my Twitter account. My Twitter feed tells me that that may not be the case. And it breaks down to a Twitter conversation that was going on between Tom Angel of Marijuana Majority, Dan Riffle of Marijuana Policy Project, and Mark Ark Kleiman. Mark A.R. Kleiman. That's right. His own name is a recursive acronym. Mark, I guess it would be a recursive abbreviation. But anyway, if you don't remember Mark Kleiman, he's the UCLA public policy prof who was the Washington State pot czar for a while. He was consulted to bring legalization to Washington State. We all know how wonderfully that's turned out. So anyway, three of them were having a conversation on Twitter, and Tom Angel began it with a link to a piece about Responsible Ohio, and he says, wow, Responsible Ohio pitches marijuana growing commercial monopoly as a feature, not a bug. And this is true. Responsible Ohio has been making the pitch that, look, we've got just 10 growers to have to regulate, 10 grow sites. We're not going to have to send inspectors to 1,000 different places to inspect and test and all that. We got 10 growers. Regulatorily, governmentally speaking, that's coming up with a word that didn't exist. Governmentally speaking, wouldn't it be easier to regulate just 10 of them? Regardless of what you think about Responsible Ohio's planned oligopoly here, they do have a point. 10 places of production are easier to regulate than 1,000. Okay? So Dan Riffle responds that they got that line from Rand's Vermont report. Here's Culkin's priceless retort. Now, the Rand report from Vermont was the one that came out with the kind of a spectrum of legalization. Everything from government-run legalization all the way to full free market legalization and all sorts of steps in between, right? So Culkins, who was one of the, Jonathan Culkins, who was one of the authors of the report, said, with normal commodities like apples, economic theory will say that it's better to have a free market. But with a drug that has a tendency to inspire dependence in heavy users, it's better to limit the total amount available to the public and thereby curb the total number of hours given over to intoxication, end quote, said the report's lead co-author, Carnegie Mellon University Professor of Public Policy, Jonathan Culkins, quote, of course, we didn't envision a group of crooked and corrupt rich people controlling the market, and what Responsible Ohio is doing doesn't sound much like what we described, end quote. But my problem with that comment, though, is that it doesn't address whether or not 10 places are easier to regulate, which is their selling point. Whether or not the 10 guys running the places are corrupt assholes is a whole other point. But the point originally is Responsible Ohio is pushing this with 10 places as being easier to regulate. So Mark Kleiman jumps in asking, has MPP or Marijuana Majority come out against the Ohio money grab? Dan Riffle replies, Dan Riffle from MPP replied, MPP's officially neutral, but I'm opposed to initiative, not just mascot. Most colleagues oppose. Most colleagues oppose. And to that, Tom Angel invokes me, and this is where I get into the conversation, where he asks, I thought Mason told Radical Russ that MPP supported the RO measure. No. To which Dan Riffle responded from MPP. He gave a waffling statement that Radical Russ interpreted as support. The board is neutral. We're not supporting. So I let Dan Riffle know, all right, I'll make sure it's perfectly clear. There's a chance to end 10,000 marijuana arrests and citations in Ohio next year, and the Marijuana Policy Project is neutral on that. Just so we're all clear, I want to make sure that we're all well aware, there's a chance to end marijuana prohibition in Ohio, and MPP is neutral on that. Now, why are they neutral? I can only guess that it's because of this oligopoly situation. My goodness, there's too few growers, and it's all controlled by a cadre of rich, connected people. I don't know why that wasn't a concern for MPP when they were pushing the last 5 or 6 East Coast medical marijuana dispensary laws, where there's 2 growers, 3 growers, 4 growers, 5 growers, 6 growers, however many there are. Where places like Connecticut require you to have, what, $2 million escrow, $500,000 escrow? But my God, it's not a problem to have these rich, corrupt oligopolies in medical marijuana when it's MPP's law that they're trying to get passed. But if it's somebody else's corrupt, rich oligopoly, that would mean I'm not a criminal, MPP's neutral on the issue. Well, one of the problems here is that I record this shit and I post it. So we can actually go back to the tape to hear what Mason Tavert actually said when I asked him about MPP's stance on the Responsible Ohio Initiative.
Let you go. If I could get you to put the MPP hat on for a second. The ballot initiative in Ohio has generated a lot of controversy. Any official position from MPP on endorsing that ballot initiative?
All right, so I'm asking for MPP's official stance on this, asking Mason, as the communications director for MPP, to put on his official MPP hat and tell us what MPP thinks, MPP being the subject here, what they think of the Ohio Initiative.
You know, it's obviously something that's getting a lot of people talking. You know, our position on this is that, you know, Our organization's mission is to end marijuana prohibition and replace it with a system in which marijuana is regulated. And so to that end, we support that.
Okay, to that end, we support that. Now, does that mean he just supports ending prohibition, that MPP supports ending prohibition generically? Or is it that they would support the Ohio Initiative?
That's what the Ohio Initiative will do.
Oh, okay. So the Ohio Initiative will end prohibition. MPP is an organization that supports that, ending prohibition. My little logic chart tells me that that's an endorsement, but let's keep listening.
Now, there's a question as to the, you know, whether people find the means in which it will be regulated palatable. And that's a question for Ohio voters to decide. You know, do they think that this is the way that they want it? So,
okay, so like any initiative, it's up to the voters to decide. So that whole sentence there was just kind of a middle, like just kind of a time waster. There's no extra information gleaned from that. Yes, the voters will decide whether they like a particular initiative. Go on.
In terms of if you want to end marijuana prohibition, if you want to see marijuana being regulated and being treated like a legal product, then yes, this is an initiative to support. If you are concerned with the specifics and how this is being set up, then that's something for those voters to decide. So it's,
so if you want to end prohibition, vote for this thing. But if you're concerned about it, that's something for the voters to decide. Some other third party out there to decide. Okay.
It's there's no simple answer, but you know, we support it in that it would end prohibition and regulate marijuana.
All right. So once again, we support it. We being MPP, we support it in that it would end prohibition. I think I got Mason Tavert on tape there twice saying that we, MPP, would support this. But now I'm told apparently the board does not support that. As we went on in our Twitter conversation, Dan made sure to let me know what was actually going on here. And I got to read back and find this. Here we go. He responded that, like Mason told you, we support ending prohibition, just not telling Ohio voters whether responsible Ohio is the right way to do that. Really? Is that what you heard? Because, you know, I just listened to that and I thought for sure I heard we, being MPP, we support that being ending prohibition, and that is something that responsible Ohio would do. See, I think a lot of these people, and again, all these colleagues spoken for up at the top of the chain here, supposedly, that hate this thing. I think we got a situation here where some people are just afraid to come out and say that they oppose it. Remaining officially neutral. Hey, somebody's about to shoot your sister. Do you want to stop them or do you want to help them? Well, I'm really neutral on that. I'm really neutral on whether or not you shoot my sister. You know, I could stop you. I could try to stop you from shooting my sister, but I'm not helping you shoot my sister. So I'm just neutral on whether or not you shoot my sister. See, this is my problem, Dan. This is my problem with people that got this attitude, is because to me, this is war. War was declared on me. And you're telling me you're Switzerland? I don't need a Switzerland. I need fucking allies, man. I don't need Switzerland. Neutral. In the face of oppression, neutrality is aid and comfort to the oppressor. There is no neutrality here. On the ballot this November is keep fucking with cannabis consumers and messing up their lives, or stop fucking with cannabis consumers and messing up their lives. There's no neutral vote on the ballot. Your vote is either keep this thing going like it's going, keep the prohibition in existence, or stop it. Now, I don't like the Responsible Ohio tactics. I don't like their mascot. I don't like their leader. I don't like their campaign style. I don't like the way they've written the business plan. But I hate prohibition. And I will trade a pretty damn good legalization, one that will help patients, one that will protect consumers, one that will create jobs and industry and tax revenue. I'll take it. And if the business thing's got a little thing that's wrong with it, we can work on that. But you don't throw away 10,000 lives just because it's not good enough. That's all the time I got. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.